¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
En Cox estamos un paso adelante, como el muchacho que ya sabe la orden de tu cafecito incluso antes de pedirlo.
¡Hey, José! ¿Café con leche sin lactosa, un toque de vainilla, templadito sin azúcar?
En Cox también nos adelantamos a lo que necesitas. Por eso el precio de tu plan no subirá por 3 años. Y nuestra seguridad avanzada protegerá tu red de amenazas antes de que pasen. Cox, un paso adelante. José, llamada de tu jefe en 3, 2, 1. Al menos 500 megabits por segundo de velocidad y Cox Unlimited Mobile. Impuestos y cargos no incluidos en garantía de precio. Velocidad de datos móviles reducida tras usar 20 gigas al mes.
You're tuned into SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. I'm Rob Williams. He's Craig McMichael. And there's a lot of things happening this weekend in college football and specifically in the SEC. And I want to start by saying this. First of all, we are presented by Hewitt Domenduras Law, hdlawsc.com. Craig and I are both people who advocate for developing, coaching, loving the whole person, that it's always more than athletics. It's more than your job. It's more than what you do. It's who you are. Brad and Dean feel exactly the same way at Hewitt Domenduras. You're not just a case number. You're not just money in their pocket, although they have won tens of millions of dollars for their clients. They want to know you. They want to get to know your story, and they want to fight for you. Hewitt Domenduras Law, hdlawsc.com, proudly presenting SEC Sunday Night right here. Now, Craig, here's what I want to say first and foremost. I am so thankful that we had an incredibly insane weekend in the SEC, especially today, because it has prevented me from any exposure to early onset Christmas season. And so we have to start the night. We've been wrong. We've been wrong throughout the weekend about a lot of different things. I'm going to give you a chance to make up for it right here, Craig. Answer one question for me. Anybody in the comment section in the chat box over there, make sure. Also, hello to Craig Godwin, our friend, different than Craig McMichael here on the show. Hello, Craig, over there. Good to see you. We're going to get to that whole Shula business here in just a moment, speaking of things we were wrong about. When does Christmas season start, Craig? Can we just start there? Can we just start and answer that question and get it out of the way before we do anything else?
Are we talking about the McMichael household, or are we talking about when do I think it actually starts?
When do you think it actually starts? When should it start, I guess, should really be my question.
So, personally, if you're getting a real Christmas tree, you go out Black Friday and you get yourself a real Christmas tree and you put it up after Thanksgiving.
Amen now, to that, sir.
Now, that did not stop me. Honeydew this morning had to get out the fake Christmas tree. And we put it up with the lights and the ornaments this morning on November 2nd. Probably the earliest we've ever put it up. But I did not win that one. But yes, I would say Black Friday is when officially the Queen of Christmas and Christmas music can come out.
I'm right there with you. I did not want to hear it today. Absolutely did not want to hear it today. And I'm glad that I didn't have to hear it today, to be honest with you. Because
I heard it twice.
I didn't hear it at all. And here's why. The SEC is an absolute madhouse, and Hugh Freeze has been fired at Auburn. Mike Shula has been fired as the offensive coordinator at South Carolina. And there was some games yesterday that led to that. that we were both wrong about. Let's start, of course, quick reaction here with Craig's favorite segment, where we go around the league for some quick scores. Texas takes down Vanderbilt after a last-second failed onside kick, 34-31 in Austin. The Bulldogs pull it out in a close one in the cocktail party over Florida, 24-20. Mississippi State is ringing the cowbell. We'll get there by 38-35 against Arkansas in Fayetteville. Ole Miss takes care of business, 30-14. Not much to see there against South Carolina. Lane Kiffin has the Rebels rolling. Tennessee coughs it up and gives it away, 33-27 to Oklahoma. Can Brent Venables keep that group in contention for the playoff against this schedule? And then finally, 10-3 in what has to be one of the ugliest SEC games we've seen in a long time. Kentucky goes to the Plains and comes out with a win and takes a hide of Hugh Freeze with them. All right. He's out. He's frozen.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
We were wrong,
Sing
Craig.
It, Willie.
This is the big, this has to be, this is one of the, this is one of the coldest takes because we did it 2 years in a row. We both had Auburn 9-3 this year, and we were sadly and sorely mistaken. How did we miss this badly?
You know, and here's the thing. Last year, Brother Hugh couldn't run the ball to save his life, and he lost in Lexington. This year, he tried to do nothing but run the ball, and he couldn't process any points. How many times did I text you last night that Auburn was sacked on third down yet again? I feel like it was just
we had conversations about Jackson Arnold going in, and before I could reply to your text, he'd been sacked already.
Yep.
And not long after that, he had been sacked again, and then he was back on the bench. So the question I think came up for us, and maybe you asked it, what was it, Hugh, or was it the quarterbacks?
It had to be you. And it blows my mind. Everyone knows I am no Auburn fan, despite the fact that I have Jordan Hare here in my background tonight. But 3 years ago, when Hugh was hired, we're like, okay, we're ready. We're ready to go. Yet again, a common thing for 2025. NIL wasn't really together. Didn't have a good concept or a grasp on the transfer portal. And even despite the fact of trying to fix it this year in 2025, we see the two biggest spenders and the two biggest benefactors of the transfer portal. Brian Kelly gets fired last week, and our good friend Hugh Freeze gets fired this week. Just absolutely shocking.
Madness, to say the least. We were also wrong, very, very wrong, about South Carolina. I had them at 10-2. You had them at 9-3, Craig. The offense has been worse than pedestrian. I can't even put it into words. The level at which this offense has played, and to take a player like Lenore Sellers and just see the regression that has happened there, ultimately falls on Mike Shula, and that is evidenced by the fact that he was relieved of his duties in Columbia today. We missed on that one for sure as well. Defense at South Carolina is not as good as last year, because actually statistically last year's Gamecock defense was one of the best in the history of the school. So comparatively speaking, it looks like the defense has maybe regressed a little too, but that was a natural and expected piece that was going to happen there. However, this defense is still tops in a lot of national categories in terms of, you know, top 20, top 25, which is more than enough to get you into winning position. They take the ball away a ton. They've held teams in terms of points and yardage. It's Clayton White's style has always been a bend but don't break. There hasn't been a game this year that you felt like they're just not really in this late into the second half, whether it was late third quarter, early fourth quarter. And then at that point, the lack of offense has, you know, taken its toll on the defense. There was a stat earlier in the year where the defense was playing twice as many minutes as the offense for the Gamecocks, because the offense would just get on and off the field so quickly. Similarly, what we said about Oklahoma's defense last year, where it really wasn't that bad. It was just a matter of eventually they're going to break because they're gassed. The offense, on the other hand, for the Gamecocks this year has been an insane, insane surprise for a lot of people. For a lot of people, because there was an expectation that Lenore Sellers may be in the Heisman conversation, that this offense was going to
he was in the Heisman conversation for preseason, and
I mean, at this point, there was an expectation that he and to give a shout out to Casey, since he's in the chat box, that he and Cade Klubnik both would be in the Heisman conversation at this point in the season, neither of whom are anywhere close to it.
Well, it's me. This becomes the question. You know, Shane Beamer now for, what is it, the second time in 3 weeks has fired an assistant coach. A couple weeks ago, he fired the offensive line coach. Now he fires the offensive coordinator. And I know this is where we disagree. Beamer is reaching for straws. There are two safety nets for Shane. One, we know he recruits well in the DMV. Mike Loxley looks like he is out in Maryland. And then his alma mater, Virginia Tech, is out there. As I read in Last Word this week, South Carolina has an interesting decision to make. If there's a mutual parting, or if they decide to make a change, you are adamant that says that South Carolina will not make a change. But if I'm South Carolina, I'm putting a call into Liberty University and one Jamie Chadwell, who had great success at the D2 and at the FBS level at Coastal Carolina. And I'm seeing if Coach Chadwell wants to come to the Gamecocks, bring that run-oriented, run-based offense to Carolina, and try to restart.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Because what have we seen with Shane? Good, bad. Good, bad. And I do believe, even when we were on our pick show, this is one thing that we talked about. Shane has had a difficult time when there's expectations and stacking on, and building off of that momentum from the last year. And the fact to do that with Lenora Sellers, who should be one of the best quarterbacks in college football in the SEC, not great, Bob.
Yeah, it's been an interesting kind of up and down, to your point, that it has been a little bit back and forth in the Shane Beamer era. I'll highlight a couple things we were wrong about here, and then we're going to jump into a couple new things tonight. I was wrong on Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Auburn. You were wrong on Arkansas, Tennessee, and Auburn. So we both go with the Vols, and we both go with War Eagle. I did pick Vandy over Texas in our picks this week, which was quite a miss. Yeah, it didn't go well. All right, so it's time. Speaking of Heisman,
Arch, baby. Arch is back. Goodness.
Speaking of going back and looking at stuff, every week we have Daily Joy, and she's on campus somewhere, and we're talking about what's going on in the SEC. It's the SEC Pretty Campus Tour, and then we're going to go back and look at where we are wrong, where we're missing things, where we have freezing cold takes. So this week, I talked to our friends at Freezing Cold Takes, and I kind of labeled our segment the SEC on Ice, because we have really missed on a few things. But before we get there, I want you guys to know that we have a giveaway coming up. And so I'm going to go ahead and put the link to that in the chat. And also here on the screen, if you want to go ahead and scan, you can win one of three prizes from SEC Pretty. It's almost Christmas season. And so if you need a quick gift for a friend, maybe you have a significant other, a daughter, a child, a friend, a wife, whatever it is. I wear my SEC Pretty hat all the time. And I know that every girl that I see on a campus and any tailgate is getting lots of looks by wearing their SEC Pretty gear. So we're going to do a couple of hats. We're going to do a sweatshirt as well. When you go to this link, you're going to pick one of four ways to enter. You can follow Craig and I on X. You can go to our website. You can go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. You can actually do all four of those things and get 12 entries instead of just doing one of them and getting three. So if you have any trouble with it, just go to @RobWilliamsGCP and send me a DM, and we'll help you out. Make sure that you get it done. But the link is there in the chat and also on the screen for our November giveaway. We're going to have a giveaway each month now. And so this is SEC Pretty giveaway in November. And on that note, let's go check out what Joy and I had to say this week in our SEC Pretty campus tour.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. It is once again time for the SEC Pretty Campus Tour with our friend Daily Joy. It is week 10. Not much is happening. We're just chilling and relaxing. Pretty easy week, Joy. You know, I'm taking suggestions from the mailbag to see what we can talk about today. We're going to find out what's going on. But first of all, as always, tell us where you're headed this weekend and what your expectations are for that stop.
You know, I'm headed to Fayetteville, and my expectations are pretty low. Obviously, Arkansas is playing Mississippi State. I have really tried this season to go to either, like, really big games or games that I felt like the home team was capable of winning in order to get the best experience. Obviously, I thought at the beginning of the season that Arkansas would beat the crap out of Mississippi State. I'm not sure that's the case now. But
well, I mean, I think that you're going to get a full SEC stadium experience when going to Fayetteville, and so it's well worth the trip. And to be honest, this is a really fun matchup between these two teams. Yeah. Because they're kind of in a weird spot, if we're being honest. Yes. We've got Mississippi State continuing to try to punch up. I've been ringing my cowbells all year long, and they just haven't, you know, it's just right there. They're right there. So we'll see what happens. Bobby P has got the Hogs competitive, at least. They're going to score some points, but they might let you score 50. So that'll be really interesting, honestly, with Jeff Lebby's offense to see what happens against that Arkansas defense. First of all, though, Vandy, Texas, just a quick thought. And go ahead and pick somebody, because we're going to expose who was wrong. We have a little twist on the I Was Wrong segment this week. And so I'll welcome you to be the first one to land on the list.
Okay, I'm going to go a little now I don't know how bold this is. If I'm being honest, I feel like because my whole social media feed is about Baton Rouge, I'm not seeing a lot of people talking about any games that are happening this week. This is not a dig at this game. It's just a fact.
It really is a low week.
It's a low week, and so I'm not seeing a lot of conversations. I actually really like Texas in this game. I think they haven't been home in quite some time. I think DKR is going to be rowdy as all get out. And I think Arch Manning's really starting to come into his own. Like, I think that they've started tweaking some things on the offensive line. I think that they have given Arch more time. Now, I don't think this is in any way, shape, or form going to be a blowout. I think this is a very close game. And I don't think Vandy's defense is getting a lot of credit this year. And I think they deserve more credit, if we're being honest. Like, I understand Vanderbilt's the Diego Pavia show right now, but, like, their defense is playing so, so well. Now, the key for Texas to beat Vanderbilt will be the same thing that Alabama had to do. You're going to have to force some takeaways. You have to force some takeaways and get some points off that. That's something LSU was not capable of doing. And so I think this game is close, but I lean Texas simply because it's a home game, and I think they're really starting to get their stuff together.
There you go. Texas is a 3.5-point favorite at home against Vanderbilt noon on Saturday, and I will go directly in opposition and pick Vanderbilt because if it is close, I trust Diego Pavia more than anybody else in the SEC to have the moxie to get it done in that type of game. Now, to your point about DKR, I think that it is going to be a factor, but if Pavia and the Commodores can make this a slugfest and it ends up like that Missouri game where it's a 17-10 kind of thing, there are going to be some groans coming out of Austin as well because they're not really producing like they want them to. All right, the other one that I wanted to talk about is Oklahoma and Tennessee in Knoxville, 7:30 on ABC. I think that this is a de facto playoff elimination game. It's a little early to start having that conversation, but maybe not, because on Tuesday night, here it is. We're recording on Friday. This is going to air on Sunday. On Tuesday, Craig and I will be back on the air live after the show, the rankings reveal show and the press conference, so that we can react to what the committee has to say. And I think that this game is going to give somebody a third loss and eliminate them from the race. I don't know that I really think Oklahoma has what it takes to make it to the end of the year against this schedule with two losses, even if they were to beat Tennessee. And Craig said last week on the show that Tennessee has one of the best offenses in the SEC, and we're just not talking about it as much. Now, their defense will give it up a little bit, and so that's the question for me is what can John Mateer do against a leaky Vols defense? But at the end of the day, it is in Neyland, and so I'm going to go with Tennessee. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. I don't think Oklahoma can hang, if I'm being honest. I think Neyland will be toxic as all get out. They know it's a playoff game. They're still reeling and mad about what happened last year in the college football playoffs. I think their goal this week is to really make a statement and prove that they belong there. And so, yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm taking the Bulls as well.
All right, so we agree on one.
We'll see if we're both wrong there. One of us has to be wrong on the game in Austin. And now, Joy, let's turn our attention, because it is a low week and there's not a ton happening on the field, but off the field last weekend, completely dominated by the fact that Brian Kelly was fired. Congratulations to you, by the way, on completely stealing the thunder of the Texas A&M Aggies and a huge win in Baton Rouge. We haven't talked about that at all. I wrote an article highlighting Heisman favorites this past week, and when I got to Marcel Reed, I was like, man, we haven't said anything. There's nothing anywhere. People aren't talking about that outside of College Station because the story coming out of Baton Rouge was Brian Kelly. Now, that story has continued to give us gold after gold after gold. And LSU believes that they are in prime position, I'm sure you would say, in the driver's seat to go hire somebody to get back to college football royalty where you belong as a blue blood at the top of the heap. But as it stands right now, you have no president, you have no athletic director, you have an interim athletic director, you have no head coach for the football team. I mean, is it baseball season yet, Joy?
No, I'm thriving right now. What are you talking about?
What are your thoughts? And
we're getting, and our new president is being named on Tuesday. So we'll know who the new president is starting on Tuesday.
Got one. We're gonna fill one of those empty slots.
One of those spots. And I have it on pretty good authority that we know who our next athletic director is. So I think that job will be filled pretty quickly as well. And then I don't think you see a coach hire until December or January.
So are we going to announce this athletic director after the coach hire or not? Because, wasn't it stated in the presser today that they were going to hire a football coach first?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then athletic director. I think Marler had that quote.
Like, I don't know how to tell y'all this. Nothing we ever say is, like, factual or legitimate or true. Like,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Everyone's just talking out of their... So, like, I don't know what else other way to say that. I mean, watch our governor and everyone just follow suit. Here is the reality of the LSU job. I will say it over and over again until I'm blue in the face. LSU is a job that will love you if you love it correctly. Brian Kelly did not appreciate the LSU job for what it was. He walked in, thought that he was going to come in, make it the same way that he made it at Notre Dame, and that he was, and those three letters on his chest just all of a sudden changed the game for him. That's not the way that that works. Ed Orgeron and Les Miles, I'm not a Les fan. That's not a secret either. But what I will give them is that they understood that in order to be successful at LSU, you had to love LSU. Brian Kelly never loved LSU. Brian Kelly loved Brian Kelly. That was the reality of the situation. And recruits and other people saw right through him from the jump. I think whoever we do hire is going to be aware of the fact that this job will repay you at the level that you invest into the state and to the school. And the football program is a direct reflection of that. So don't let the door hit you on the way out, Brian Kelly. I won't miss you. I genuinely like that. Nothing good to say.
There you go. Your weekly rant from Daily Joy here about inevitably something happening in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Are you sporting the new SEC Pretty Mock Neck?
This is not the new mock neck, but this
I can't see.
Out.
I can't see what
it
you have on.
It is coming out soon. It's not the one that's on the website currently, but we're working to get it there. So,
all right. So many products, including that one, hats, crew necks, the SEC cute hats for your kids are there. SECpretty.com. Make sure that you go get it, Joy. Have a great time in Fayetteville, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob. Bye.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803 803- 855-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt D'Amadouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt D'Amadouros, we're on your team!
This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. That was, of course, our weekly campus segment with Daily Joy and so many opportunities to point out where we were wrong, where we missed it, what happened with our picks for the week. Craig and I pretty much already covered that because we've been wrong about a lot of things this week, this season, especially heading into this week. But before we go any further, I'll remind you guys we do have a giveaway with Daily Joy. The link is there in the comment section, and we also have a QR code we'll put back up here in just a moment. And I will then welcome our good friend Jonathan Williams. Jay Will, what's going on? I see Craig raising his hand like a good pupil in class over there. But first and foremost, we have to get to our esteemed guest who is here to talk about cocktails and golf clubs, I think, is on the agenda for tonight.
I'm doing great, guys. I mean, a great weekend. Like you just mentioned, I was down there for the Georgia-Florida weekend. That's always a great time. Got to check out some South Georgia high school football as well. And, you know, kind of expected a little bit of a maybe a down weekend in college football. But as expected, I dominated last weekend heading into it as unexpected chaos. I think we certainly got some of that this past weekend.
Were you at Valdosta Friday night?
I was at Valdosta. Wintersville, baby.
See, look, I follow you. I know exactly where you're at. I'm stalking.
Craig's locked in.
I'm locked in, but I will say I was not wrong. Okay. Tennessee does have one of the most explosive offenses. Here's the thing.
You're wrong with your game. So was I. I mean, we have to own it, right? We picked the Vols. The doubles was too much for them to handle, and that's what happened.
Hang on, sweetheart. Joey Aguilar threw for 393 yards, 3 touchdowns. If those 2 first half interceptions actually go to the team in black instead of the team in white, he's throwing for almost 500 yards.
That's a whole lot of numbers just to go against the only one that matters, which is the scoreboard.
Don't let facts ruin a perfectly good argument. Come on, that's now.
The second week you've said that. Is that the new granola? All right, Jonathan, let's talk about what's actually happening that matters in this moment. 2 different things. Let's start with Georgia and Florida. Cocktail party is always a little bit crazy. You said it, that the chaos may have been unexpected. And every time this year that we've said, oh, it's a low week, watch out. That because it has been absolute chaos every single time. We now have a second consecutive week where we have a prominent SEC program firing a coach. Again, midseason, we now have 4 SEC programs that do not have coaches that have fired their coaches throughout the course of this season. And so it's continuing to stack up. The market is there, but we'll start with the interim coach, Florida Gators, and the Georgia Bulldogs coming in. What were the expectations first and foremost heading into this game for you? Because for me, you know, you expect a little bit of competitiveness early, but I kind of really just thought Georgia would pull away late, and that's not exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I expected a really competitive football team. I think that Florida is certainly one of those teams where you look at the record and it's like, oh, Florida's down yet again this year, not meeting expectations with the 5-star quarterback that they have. But that's the thing exactly of what I just mentioned of they have talented players on both sides of the ball. I think that defense is one of the best in the conference. I think you saw that multiple times in that game. I think that the offense, again, being the issue for them this season, it just continued to sputter in critical moments for them. So I expected a competitive football game. I dang near got the score prediction right on the money. Had Gunnar Stockton actually got into the end zone instead of kneeling right there on the one, I said 31-20. So I think it ended up being kind of what I thought it would, but I expected a close game throughout the entire game. But I just kind of thought that when it came to the fourth quarter, when Georgia got the ball at a crucial moment, they would be able to death march their way down the field. That's kind of how it happened. Maybe not exactly how I thought it would play out. I didn't think that Georgia's offense would struggle as much as they did. They had some really bad penalties. Obviously, the interception from Gunnar Stockton and even a bad punt from Brett Thorson put Florida right in striking distance, and they capitalized on those moments. So good on them for doing that. But when it came to the critical moments, that's where the best team shows up. The best team usually wins those moments. I thought Georgia did on both of those. I thought the fourth and one where they stopped Florida from converting that one down on their own, down in your striking distance, I thought that was a massive critical moment. And then when Georgia was on third and seven on the other side of the field, Florida has an opportunity to either force them to kick a field goal or force them to go for it on fourth and down. Georgia runs the ball and they give up a first down. I thought those were the two critical moments in that game, and Georgia won both of them.
So the narrative coming out this weekend is that, oh, Georgia has this fool's gold. You know, like, they keep having to come back in the fourth quarter, and, like, eventually, you know, like, Cinderella is going to turn midnight for them. Do you see this as a flaw, or as maybe, like, this is just who they are, and this is where they're at? Kirby's, like, never say die attitude. Is this a flaw in your eyes? You follow them probably about as close to anybody we chat with.
Yeah, I think you could classify it as a flaw. I think it really depends on the matchup. Like, when you're, like, going into the Ole Miss game, my feeling was this game, like, if you're going to play with fire, if you're going to play with Lane Kiffin's offense, if you're going to give up, like, multiple scores, constantly against that offense, and you're going to be down multiple scores against the Rebels in that one, that's not the team that you want to play fire with. Now, Georgia did that defensively, but the offense was just so money the entire day, it didn't even matter. So it depends on the matchup for me, really. Like, some of these teams, like a Florida team, like, it, where you can really rely on the defense, maybe it's not so much of an issue. Now, resiliency, the word Kirby Smart loves to use about this team, that is something that plays into, like, if you get into a playoff matchup, you're in a one-score game, all those moments that Georgia has racked up on in the second half, we got to go score here, or in the second half, we got to get a stop here to get the ball back, all those times that they've had to do it, certainly that pays off in those moments. But you still got to get there first. And they got Texas on the schedule still. They have Georgia Tech on the schedule to end the year. And they also have to go at Mississippi State this weekend, which I know, Mississippi State, oh my gosh, roll your eyes all you want. But we've seen what they've been able to do against some of the better teams in this conference as well. So playing with fire, yeah. I mean, you might get burned a couple of times, but they continue to win these games. But if you do something like you did against Alabama where you play with fire, you might get handed a loss. So, yeah, it very well could be classified as a flaw.
Write this down, by the way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Blake Shapen and Mississippi State will be up 17-3 at the end of the first quarter. And it'll be just the same thing that we've always seen. Shapen and the Bulldogs are going to get hot. And then Gunner and the boys will get going. And then eventually Georgia will win, like, I don't know, 41-27 or something like that. But I just expect something, like, chaotic and, like, it doesn't even irritate me anymore. It's just kind of like, well, this is 2025. This is kind of what we've come to expect.
Absolutely.
Does it feel a little bit to you guys like Florida has kind of had their moment this season? Like, I understand that it was a very competitive game, as you said yesterday. And had they won the game, maybe they would be getting a little more run right now. But it feels a little bit to me that even though they made it competitive, there's nobody, including us, that is really talking about them, because they were an early move with Napier. Now you've had LSU and Auburn fire coaches afterwards, and Georgia comes out on top yesterday. And so the story is about the winner, and we're going to talk about Georgia. And, you know, my next question that I have is, and you already partially answered it, Jonathan, is
what have you seen in this playing with fire kind of mode that, that the Bulldogs have been in that, you know, on the one hand, it does prepare them for tight games in, down the stretch, but what schematically or from a personnel standpoint, is there anything that stands out to you that is like a flashing red light? This is the concern for me if and when these Bulldogs are in the playoff later on in the year. So, you know, as I'm moving on to that question in my mind, it occurred to me, we just handled Florida in 15 seconds and great effort from them yesterday, but it's just time to move on. Craig, am I correct in that? Like, we don't have anything else to say about them. We're going to move on until they make a hire.
Yeah, I that's kind of where they're at. I think you have Florida and Auburn. I think you've got the Spider-Man imposter meme kind of looking at each other, kind of where they're at. I think LSU's maybe a step above, but these three teams are all swimming in the same. They're going to be swimming in the same waters. They're going to be the exact same candidates for one. Are going to be the exact same for all three. And I love you, Joy, but LSU is a hot freaking mess. Sure. You know what? It was something to fire Brian Kelly last Sunday, but with what happened with the governor and how he continues to run his mouth and then fires Scott Woodward, you know, did some things. He spent a lot of people's money, but that's what athletic directors at Power Four programs do. They spend a lot of other people's money. But if I'm looking at that as a stability point, you know, the Georgia athletic director was one of those folks that was looked at. Hey, he's gonna be coming back home. Jay, well, did he respond to that on Friday?
Oh yeah, he absolutely did. Shut all of it down. Said, no, you don't have to worry about me leaving. I'm staying right here in Georgia.
Yeah. Do we believe anything that anybody's saying though at this point? Like,
no.
We have Lane Kiffin telling everybody he's staying. You have to. I'm gonna steal your. I won't throw any names out, Craig, because I'm gonna let you say this in just a minute when we talk about Auburn. But you have other coaches around the country who have made definitive statements already that they're not leaving, they're not going anywhere, and yet we still hear their names in these coaching searches. Let's get this question in, and then we're going to go to that, though, Jonathan. As far as the flashing red light, what sticks out to you about this Georgia Bulldogs team that you think could be a problem for them? Because I think that they should be in contention for a national championship given what we have seen to this point in the season, but no one is elite, and that's the story of 2025. So what stands out to you?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. Obviously, I think the offense is pretty solid right now. Losing Colby Young, that's a major loss for them. He was a big-time playmaker for them, but I think what you kind of saw in that Florida game, Noah Thomas, not the same type of receiver that Colby is, but still explosive enough to where he can make you some big-time plays and get you on the scoreboard. So I think you're set there. Offensive line has been tremendous despite playing two true freshmen up front, especially getting Ernest Green back. You've added some depth there. Tight ends are solid. Gunnar Stockton seems to be progressing. Running back room is loaded. I think the offense is set. On the flip side, though, I think defensively there's a couple of things that stick out. Number one, everybody's hit on it at this point. Lack of a pass rush. And I'm not even talking like Georgia doesn't have an issue really of getting to the quarterback, but what they don't have is they don't have a guy where they can throw on the field on third down. They're like, we know that guy's getting home. Like, you don't have one of those specialty package guys that is just known for getting after the quarterback and is going to do his job every single time. They just don't have him. You would have had one if Damon Wilson's decided to stick around at Georgia and not go to Missouri, but you didn't. And so you had to go into the portal. You try to get Elo Madozi. He's been spot playing for them. You try to get Chris Cole to maybe become this modern hybrid linebacker for you. I think that he's just kind of drinking out of a fire hose right now because he's trying to learn inside linebacker. He's learning outside linebacker. He's doing a lot of things for them. So maybe as the season progresses, you see it. So lack of a pass rush, that'd be number one. And then two, and you saw this in the Florida game as well, is that safety room is one, questionable right now. And two, they just don't have a lot of depth. KJ Bolton's a star back there for them. And then he gets kicked out for targeting and you lose Kyron Jones, your other starter, due to an injury. And we don't know when he's going to come back. So you're kind of playing Ja'Cory Thomas and the handful of transfers that you took this past offseason. And they're just not the typical safeties that you've seen on a Georgia defense in years prior. And that's kind of allowing some of these explosive plays to occur. One of the touchdowns that Florida got earlier in the game, that was because the safety's eyes were in the wrong spot. And then the guy gets behind him. He scores a touchdown. That play where everybody's kind of throwing their arms up in the air of like, that should have been a catch with Sturdivant late in the game. Again, safeties were glued in on what the quarterback was doing, rushing out of the pocket, and hit the wide receiver gets behind them. If it's a good ball, it's a touchdown. So KJ Bolden's got to stay healthy, and then you just kind of got to figure out what else is going on at safety and make sure that those guys are ready and prepared. I think he will with Zion Branch if he's the guy that they keep going with. if the depth is there, then they'll be fine. But those are two things defensively that I would say, like, yeah, that's a little bit concerned. But they're young, man. I mean, that's what Kirby Smart said all offseason, is this is a really young team. They're one of the youngest teams in the conference. And that's kind of showing up on defense.
Yeah, I agree. I'm almost stunned every time we have this conversation. And you're right. People have hit on it over and over again. But a Kirby Smart-led team does not typically have questions on the defensive side of the ball, and yet this one just continues to – as much as it's almost like week in and week out in the South Carolina market, about halfway through the season, I kind of flipped my story, but I said over and over again, it's going to click at some point. It's going to click at some point. It has to click at some point. And I keep feeling like I say the same thing about Georgia from a defensive standpoint. It's like, this is Kirby Smart, right? Like, at some point, these guys are going to rise to the occasion, and it's going to be a little more shut down than what we've seen so far. But, you know, we're getting a little late into the season to see things kind of quote unquote coming along. All right. So let's turn the page slightly, because we do have breaking news today with Hugh Freeze being fired, Mike Shula fired as the offensive coordinator of South Carolina. Like I said, there was
what happened?
There's four. There's
I was on the golf course today. I didn't hear any of this.
You know what? Here's the weird thing for me, Jonathan, as it pertains to our show. Craig and I both picked Auburn to go 9-3 this year during our preseason.
What an idiot. What an idiot.
However, Craig has been the biggest Hugh Freeze hater for so long, and he has just been calling for this day. So I don't know what to do with him. Like, is it a freezing cold take? Did he miss? Is he
love
right
me
on the
anyway.
Money?
Hey, love me anyway. As the
I don't,
good
I don't know what to do. I don't anyway. Know what to do, because the record did not reflect how you feel about the coach, and how you feel about the coach did not reflect in the record. The problem is they have a lot of talent, and that I think that is ultimately what got him.
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of put them in a similar boat that I put Florida in earlier, is that they're really talented, but things just aren't clicking for them down there. And offensively, same thing with Florida. That offense just sputters and sputters, and it's disgusting to watch at times. I mean, that's the nicest way I can put it. But I think that Craig's hatred for Hugh Freeze, that tells me that he's been paying attention to what's been coming out of that guy's mouth the entire season and the entire time that he's been down at Auburn. Anytime that guy gets in front of a mic, it's like, dude, what are we talking about? What are we doing? Like, nothing there is relatable, in my opinion. If anything, it's like it's damning evidence as to why he should have been fired. And first off, I think that you guys weren't alone in thinking that Auburn was going to be better than they were last year, and that their record would reciprocate that. But there was one major red flag to me this offseason going into the year where I was like, I wouldn't touch Auburn with a 10-foot pole. And it was Hugh Freeze. I think it may have actually been at a golf event. Ironically, I think it was a fundraiser event that he was at, and he was doing an interview. And he said that our expectation this year is that we have to be bowl eligible. So Hugh Freeze going into this year for Auburn, when everybody's expecting this offense to be better, this team to be better, maybe potentially a competitor in this conference, he's out here saying that we just got to go 6-6. We got to get to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's what success looks like for us this year. So for me, I was like, well, if this guy who might be playing for his job, coaching for his job this year, is saying that success for him is I just got to make a bowl game, then why should I be sitting out here giving them credit and hyping them up this entire year when it doesn't sound like they're too hopeful about their season?
That's exactly it. He says that, like, he didn't get, you know, I was talking to Rob before we got on today. It's a common theme for the 2025 coaching carousel, is it not? You have coaches who didn't understand NIL, which Hugh did not for a long time understand NIL. He really didn't understand the transfer portal. Remember last year he was crying about, oh my gosh, these quarterbacks, I can't bring in a quarterback. They're too expensive. I'm going to stay with Peyton Thorne. And then when he decides to spend money, he goes on to Jackson Arnold, who got benched.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Like 3 weeks in at Oklahoma. And could not do anything productive. Now, I know Rob is this big Jackson Arnold apologist, and he's probably going to be crying and whining over there in a minute. But Hugh just, like, could never figure it out. But it was never Hugh's fault. He just needed patience and he needed time. And he's gone, which I can't wait to. I don't know about you, Jay. Well, but I can't wait to cover Eric Singleton and Cam. Oh my God, I'm missing his last
Coleman.
Name. Cam Coleman. When they're in the red and black next fall. So I that's all I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think, Craig, you were asking about earlier, like, what's the storyline with Florida right now? Like, do we even have to talk about them anymore? I think with LSU, with Auburn, and with Florida, it's the same storyline at this point of, can those guys hang on to their roster? Like, where are those guys going to go? Because if there's an SEC team or there's a Big Ten team that just absolutely pillages one of those rosters, like, if there's someone that can get three defensive linemen out of Auburn this offseason, or they can take away three defensive linemen for Florida, or they get Dallas Wilson, or they get Cam Coleman, and like they get some of those skill players out at Florida, like Jaden Baugh, you might be building a national title contender. And that's the craziest thing is that those three jobs right now, while they are empty and they are currently searching for a new head coach, there is plenty of talent to go around there. And it's the most weird thing about them is I think going into the year is like those rosters are talented, but there's something that just feels off about them. And it felt off with Brian Kelly the entire time there, with him losing week one games constantly to teams that he was better than and not being able to finish out the season. And Billy Napier constantly spiraling down there despite finishing with a top 15 class every single year. Auburn not having an offense despite getting a guy like Cam Coleman, getting one of the most expensive wide receivers out of the transfer portal and all this stuff, like, none of it truly made sense. So eventually, yeah, the finger gets pointed back at the head coach, and rightfully so.
Well, and I think this is going to be the most interesting part when the season finally ends and we go to this the hiring cycle. So transfer portal does not open until 5 days after your coach is hired. Or it's that first week or two in January, that 10-day period in January. So it's, you know, like these teams, we've seen that rush. Like as soon as the season's over, they're hiring that coach within a week or two. You almost wonder, because we only have the one transfer portal window, do you sacrifice the class of 2025, that early signing period, to try to maybe hire someone later in December, early January? Maybe you pick somebody off from Oxford who maybe bows out in the first round of the playoff or something like that, and kind of like wait because of this transfer portal mess. Like I think that's the thing. And I think that's the hardest part, that as we're preparing for this show, as we're writing, we are entering a yet another change in how we do things. And we don't really know what are going to be the consequences, whether good or bad, based on these moving dates now.
Yep, no doubt. Hey, one more here for you, Jay Will, and we'll get you out of here. We have these openings. Now there's a ton of openings to talk about. So you take your pick of school. We said we were going to talk about Auburn because that one's new and ish. Like, I think we knew that was going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
But
I called it last week. I was right.
Outside of Lane Kiffin, who's the obvious name for everybody's list, who do you like? I know Craig has some names that he likes on the Plains. What are you thinking?
For Auburn, I think that honestly, and maybe Auburn fans moan and groan about this one, but I think that James Franklin might be the right guy for the job down there, in my personal opinion. I created this theory that last week the reports start coming out that Virginia Tech, they got it locked down. James Franklin about to sign with those guys to be their next head coach. In my opinion, I was like, oh, that's a leverage play for James Franklin. No way James Franklin is going to go on College Game Day and talk about, I want to go win a national title somewhere else and then go to Virginia Tech. No disrespect to the Hokies up there, but I'm just saying, like, when we're talking about winning national titles and having that type of expectation, Virginia Tech, not one of the first names to pop it in the mind. So I thought that was maybe a leverage play of like, no, if you want to hire me, you better go ahead and get rid of the guy down there so that you and I can start having conversations. And what do you know? Auburn fires Hugh Freeze this weekend. Now, I know it had to come after a loss, or it seemed to come after a loss, but just saying, maybe those two things are tied together. So I think maybe for Auburn, James Franklin might be the right guy. I think Sumrall would be a perfect fit at LSU, just because I think that's the route maybe they need to go. They need a guy that has that type of fire and energy and really cares about it, and he's got roots planted down there. So I think that would be a good fit for them. As for Florida, I mean, everybody that I talk to that is like either connected with that program or is a fan of that program, it's Lane Kiffin or bust. And I don't know if that's a great way to go about this, considering that you've had two head coaches now within the last 8 years kind of flame out and kind of teeter off at the same rate. just kind of expecting, like, that's our guy. We're going to go get him. And Lane obviously is going to keep trolling like he always does, but Lane kind of seems happy at Ole Miss, in my opinion. So I don't know if that's the right guy to bank on. So if Florida can't get him, I don't know what direction you go in. I had a Florida fan tell me that if we don't get Lane, we might as well just keep Billy Gonzalez as the interim because I don't want to hire anybody else. So I don't know. I don't know who the best fit down there at Florida is. And it's questioning to me of like, man, it's kind of scary taking a job because everybody wants to label it as one of the top jobs in the country, and it is. It's surrounded by talent high school-wise. It's in a great spot. It's got high pedigree, all of that great stuff, national title expectations. But my question is, well, why have there been four coaches now that just haven't worked out there? You're telling me that of the all four options, we're just going to label those as, oh, all of those were bad hires. Like, I don't know. Maybe there is something down there to where it tells you, like, maybe that isn't the place I need to go to. Maybe I can just build it out at Ole Miss like Lane has so far. Maybe I don't need to jump the gun and take more money to go to Florida because I can be a lifer here at Ole Miss for the next 10 years, and people are going to be happy with me because I've proven that I'm what I'm worth here, and I'm going to get this team contending in this conference. Whereas if I go to Florida, I might be out of a job in 2 or 3 years. Even if I go 8-4, if I go 9-3, if it takes me a little while, the seat's going to get hotter a whole lot quicker down there than it is at Ole Miss.
We've said it time and time and time again. I think that Florida and Auburn have the most illogical quick triggers that I've ever seen in my life, and it continues to get worse. Now, in this case, do I agree that it was finally time to let go of Hugh Freeze? Yes. But I did make the argument, as Craig rubbed in my face earlier, on multiple occasions, that I think we need to give coaches more time. We just do. I think that this whole thing about the transfer portal speeds things up is a little bit of a facade. I think that you can build a mercenary team in a year or two, but that does not build a program. And then that success is not sustained. And then people are pissed off and they want to fire the coach. If you want them to actually build something that lasts, it's not going to happen in 2 or 3 years. That's not how it works. You cannot microwave it. You can't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
I'm sorry. Go to Bloomington, Indiana. That is such a 2023 take. Rob, you are in the same boat as Mike Gundy.
He's done it for 2 years. Let's see if he's just if and when.
Yeah, year one. What did he do? Year one. He went.
You can have your argument about that one anomaly. All that we want to do it. All right, Jonathan. Thanks a lot for coming on tonight.
Wait. Hang on. Don't go.
Yes,
don't
Craig.
Don't leave. First and foremost, Jonathan, the Florida Gators have to send Carson Beck a love note because their next head coach is now not going to be in the playoffs because Shannon Dawson will now be the next head coach of the Gators. And let me tell you this one. Listen, Florida. Auburn already dealt with Lane's coming. And then you end up with Hugh Freeze. I'm going to one-up your James Franklin. You ready for this one?
Let's hear it.
It's all about relationships, is it not?
Yeah.
Scott Strickland hired two coaches in 2008. His baseball program, he hired John Cohen. For football, he hired Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen is coming back to the SEC, and he's going to Auburn, baby. Bring it home, baby. Let's go. Hit the add button because I am right.
All right, we'll see what happens. It's a hot take, but I'm just gonna be honest. I'm not mad at it. Jonathan, thanks a lot for coming on. Dr. J Will on X. If you want to go follow him, make sure that you do that. If for all of your things, not just with the Bulldogs, but so many takes across the SEC, and we love what you guys are doing over there. On and on it goes. Very quality. In everything that you do, when you're here, it's fantastic. But really, when you guys are on your show and you're breaking stuff down, what you and Brooks are doing is really, really phenomenal. So we appreciate you coming on, taking the time with us, and being a continual strong voice for us in the SEC, where things continue to get more and more chaotic. Make sure that you guys follow along and check out Jonathan. Thanks again for being with us. This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network, and we'll be right back after this break.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamaduros, we're on your team.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
Yo, what's up? Baby, let's go!
PTC is go.
Thank you. Go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
FTM is go.
Safety con is go.
FTU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
It's SEC Sunday Night, presented by Hewitt Diamandouros. Visit hdlawsc.com. It's go time.
Back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. I want to remind everybody who is new here with us right now and just jumping in to go download the Chief Sports app so that you can get us, not only us, but you can get so many other fantastic pieces of content, whether it is Monday through Friday coverage of South Carolina Gamecocks, that is during the day, during the evening, in the mornings. We also have national show JC and Morgan on College Football Forever. I want you to go check that out as well with Mike Morgan of the SEC Network and JC Sherbert of 24/7 Sports. Also, I remind you guys that we are now on podcast. We've been here live with you for a long time, but we are now on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Go like, subscribe, give us 5 stars, review it, all the things. You know how those things work. The more that you rate us 5 stars, the more that you comment, the better it's going to drive numbers and the more that we can do for you to provide an incredible show for you week in and week out. And so we appreciate that. Make sure that you go follow us. You can find us there easily at SEC Sunday Night on Apple and on Spotify. Craig, a couple things I want to get into really quick before we bring Casey in. And, you know, if whenever he's ready, I can actually go ahead and pull him in. So, Casey, you just give me a thumbs up or something when you're ready to roll. But
I had a question for you. Can the people at home give you a 4-star rating and keep the 5-star for me? Or
yeah, I think so. I think that's actually okay. How it works. I think that's actually how it works.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure.
All right, I'm going to bring Casey in because I've got something that I want to do here. We're getting close to the playoff. Everybody remember that if you're here tonight, we love you and we appreciate you. And we're here every Sunday night. But this Tuesday, we're going to be back for a special because we are going to break down what's going on in the college football playoff on the first ranking show. So we're coming on at 9 because the reveal show is at 8. And then the press conference is at 8:45. So we'll be on at 9 to talk about exactly what was said in the press conference. I've got something here in terms of projections from our friend Tyler Markley at Projection Sports. And in this, he has 4 SEC teams here, as you can see, Alabama and A&M in that top 4 getting a bye. You're also going to have Ohio State and Indiana there. But on the other side, you have Georgia and you have Ole Miss. Do we feel like there could be a 5th? Is somebody missing from this projection? Anybody have any thoughts?
Where's Clemson?
It's the wrong year.
Oh, wrong year. My bad. I know.
Preseason ranked number fourth, so everyone's getting quality wins, Craig. I just want you to say everybody. You get a win. You get a win. You get a win.
So I think that the question you have to look at, if you're looking for that five team, Vanderbilt is there. That's a cute pick. Sure, they look nice. Oklahoma still has a chance. You look at Oklahoma's remaining schedule. They have Alabama. I believe they have Missouri. And then they also hang on. I'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. One at a time. Like, give the people a chance. Let it breathe a little bit.
I'm just shocked that the giant Arch Manning sign that's on your roof, like the Clark Griswold of Texas fans that you are, didn't say the Longhorns first. That's the only thing I was thinking.
Who has a more impressive? I'm just going with it. Okay.
I just don't think Oklahoma gets through the gauntlet. I think they have a much harder gauntlet.
No, they do not. No, that wow. Freezing cold takes part two. Oklahoma has Alabama, Mizzou, and they have LSU. LSU is a dead man walking. Mizzou is on QB3. Texas has at Georgia, and then they have Texas A&M. Those two games are harder, arguably, than anything Oklahoma has maybe outside of Alabama.
That is what you're doing, is arguing it, Craig.
I am arguing.
Okay, so to that note, this morning I had a conversation of sorts with our friend Ari Wasserman on X, where he made the argument that the ACC is a deep league and could be somewhat competitive with the SEC. Casey, I saved this discussion for you, because he said, and I quote, "Every ACC team could beat any team in the country on the right Saturday." I just have trouble believing that every ACC team was capable of that. But we do know that our good friend Hoos is happy with where things stand right now. But check this out. Here are the percentages from College Football Nation, College Football on X. This graphic is from them, but these numbers are from ESPN. 7 SEC teams have a higher percentage chance of making the college football playoff, according to ESPN, ahead of the top ranked ACC school, which would be Virginia. How does that shake out? The ACC has to get one, right?
And you know, I don't like anything serious, but I think what Ari was doing was showing the absolute hypocrisy of a tweet that he retweeted below that comment. And basically, it's just we're on to SEC Sunday night, so I know who my audience is, but he was basically saying that any SEC team, I mean, it's that same narrative we hear year in, year out. They just beat each other up every week. Ari was just taking that hypocrisy statement and putting it into the under the guise of the ACC. I mean, we know, and in the past, everyone poops on the ACC, right? Whether rightfully, wrongfully, doesn't matter. This year is absolute chaos, and it's awesome because everyone gets that preconceived narratives about the preseason polls, and I won't go off on my obvious, and I use it as part of my character on the Message Board Geniuses, but I do truly mean it. It's based in reality, right? There is a preconceived narrative built and shoved down your throat by the four-letter network each and every year that those teams are better than you. Based on what? And that's what I got out of Ari's thing. And I'm not a big Ari Wasserman fan, so I'm not necessarily taking his side, but I do like what he said there. Case in point, look at Tennessee. How are they still ranked? Because 1-4 loss SEC team has to be still in the rankings, right?
Yeah, I mean,
or 3 losses, whatever.
It's a fair point. You know, we're not. It's not lost.
There's
on
no.
Me.
I don't think there's any arguing the SEC is the best talent, right? Top to bottom, player to player, talent, great. But there's just such a narrative that just keeps
getting
shoved
down your
throat.
We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, actually.
I kind of really enjoyed the fact that Ari said that. Now this graphic.
But to me, I think this is where. Can you put the graphic back up real quick? Sorry, I like this because I think we're missing something in the conversation.
I know you asked for Ari to come on. You got Ari Jr.
Got our
Well, yeah.
You know, we could have a conversation with you.
In Ari's attempt to grab attention, he didn't like the fact that I was trying to get attention by replying to his attention grabbing.
You, anyway. Chris Marler. I mean, the people were replying to Ari.
Exactly. Go ahead, Craig.
Not happy.
So what I would argue, Tapa and Ohio State, Indiana seem to be like the two top teams. And yes, I will stand on that argument. The next five or six teams there, I think, are probably SEC-esque. But what I do wonder about is BYU and Texas Tech. I don't want to play Texas Tech if I'm Georgia.
Nope.
I don't want to play Texas Tech if I'm Alabama. I don't want to play Texas Tech even if I'm Ole Miss. I don't know if I really want to play BYU.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Why you are not, especially if I have to go out to Salt Lake City. I don't think I want to do that. But like, you know, with the ACC, like you take a look at it. SEC, I think, is only going to get four. I think Texas has too hard of a road. OU, I know, Maggie, you're talking about what Mizzou did last year. I'm sorry. It was a nice story this year. You're gonna get your eight wins. You're gonna go to your bowl game. That'll be nice. But like, it's gonna be interesting. And I think Georgia Tech stubbed their toe a little bit this year. But Georgia Tech has an opportunity to still put themselves and really the ACC in a really good spot. They were a pain in the ass and took Georgia to eight overtimes last year. I have no doubt, especially with Georgia's porous offense, that game will not, you know, that game will be eight overtimes again. So I think it's interesting. And while I may disagree with Ari about the depth of the ACC, I do think you can make an argument that there is more of a depth in the SEC. I do think it's six, seven, eight teams that are stronger. What we're used to, though, is that it's not 6-7, Rob. It's not 6-7. It's not the
you
top.
You just said teams. It just came out of your mouth.
6-7. Because okay. I worked in
my 7-year-old went to bed saying that tonight. Him okay. and Rob. Same.
Well, you know, that's how we are around here. Sometimes it's going to be really serious, but this is the point of the show when it gets a little not. All right. Yeah. Speaking of, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for everybody's favorite
anything?
Segment. What?
Did we answer anything? Did we resolve anything?
Do we ever?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maggie says you can win with backups. Ole Miss has been doing it all season. She's just going to continue to throw those barbs. All right. It is time for our favorite segment. Everyone's favorite segment.
Maggie.
Everyone's favorite segment. It just means more. Genius. In collaboration with our esteemed producer here, Casey Cregan. From the Message Board Genius Podcast, and provided, of course, by our good friend MBG, each and every week, we have the best boards from the SEC and sometimes outside of the SEC on what's going on. We've talked about a lot of things tonight, guys. We've talked about what actually happened on the field because I think that's what people show up for. I'm starting to think otherwise, but heading into this year, I was still firmly on board that we show up for the actual football games. I'm starting to think that we get more people showing up for stuff off the field and then stuff on the field. So if we can just play football in the background and then have like a soap opera over on the side, I think maybe that would draw the most viewers.
K-pop Demon Hunters?
In keeping, yeah, apparently so. In keeping with that, let's roll through the boards. Casey, I'm going to let you read them. I can't really see, so I'm just going to throw up what I've got, okay?
Yeah, throw them
in whatever
up.
Order, whatever order they fly.
I do have to tell you, this time of year is fantastic for MBG, and I think you said it perfectly, Rob. There has been way more worry, more flight trackers, more, Lane Kiffin's was seen eating a bagel over at, you know, in Piscataway, New Jersey. There's been more of that than actually, like, the games. So you were spot on there. But here we go. We're going to Miami. I know, it's just nice to pile on Miami, and their quarterback used to play in the SEC. So here we go. A Negro Juan Kenobi from the Canes Insight says, Mario, if you love your alma mater, do the honorable thing like Mark Richt and step TF down. So should Mario step down?
No shot.
You know, I think this has been the interesting, that's been the interesting piece, is you see what a disappointment Mario has been for Miami. Like, you've seen a lot of the stats of kind of like what his record was at Oregon and where he's been at Miami and how he's really taken a step back. And his record against unranked opponents in the ACC is just not great. It's not great at all. And I don't know what the solution is.
He does have a win against Notre Dame.
He does, but like, does that cancel? I mean, so that's something you're looking at on Tuesday. Like, you have that win against Notre Dame.
Well, Notre Dame's getting Notre Dame's getting a lot of love because their only losses are A&M and Miami.
Yeah, what this actually does is hurts Notre Dame's resume.
Keep hurting it.
It does. They've got the win against USF too, and it's like, I mean, we're one more November loss. I mean, just go ahead and pick one. But like, we're one more Miami loss, one more bad loss. And I think it probably knocks out not only Miami, but maybe also Notre Dame as well.
Well, can I ask this question? Can I ask this question, especially as Casey's here? Now that Miami lost another one and Georgia Tech slipped up, are we sliding ever more towards ACC being a lock at just a one big leak?
Yeah, and that's what I think we were this time last year too,
sure,
being a one team league, and it was Miami or SMU at this point. So, yeah, I mean, right. I think it is. I think it may be. It's going to be – it depends on who comes out of the ACC championship. You lose, again, it's like that game last year. You lose a close game, maybe you do get both teams in. But it's dependent. You're not getting a two-loss ACC team in there. So you may get – you know, if Virginia goes and somehow runs the table miraculously, they're getting in. But if they beat a Georgia – well, I guess I just contradicted myself. If they beat a good Georgia Tech team who has beaten Georgia at this point, maybe, mm-hmm, you know, hypothetically, then you're talking about two.
I think that's
two,
your formula.
That's it. That's the only one. Miami's
– it's the same way Clemson got in last year, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. They won the ACC.
Yeah, so to me, like that's, and I think 2025 has put it out there. This is where the chaos comes in. I think the ACC and Big 12 probably over under for both of them is 1.5, and it's basically going to be dependent on who wins the championship game. Is it the favorite, or do we have an upset? Because that probably is what could tip the scales going from 1 to 2. It's actually better if your favorite gets knocked out.
Who is the favorite?
There you go.
All right,
Orange I love Buddha. This one.
From VolQuest, we get a lot of love, and I use the word term love loosely here, from VolQuest. A lot of business from Tennessee fans. Rumors going around about Heupel, the LSU stuff is real. They have talked, and his attorney is involved. So, Josh Heupel to LSU confirmed.
But who is that?
Via
VolQuest. That confirmed it?
Orange Buddha.
Orange Buddha, there you go. All right, you heard it here first.
Yeah, I mean,
I do think Craig and I have had this conversation a lot.
Fat Tom 22 has broken some stuff for us. We got Fast Chad on the Clemson boards, has broken some really good stuff in between mimosas from Chili's or wherever he is.
Craig and I have talked a lot about
don't this. Sleep on Orange Buddha.
I don't know about LSU Orange Buddha, but but I do think hype needs some love. You know, Tennessee fans are not
question,
happy with him
Rob?
Today. They're not happy with him today, but I do think that there's a possibility of him going somewhere else if it's a job that we would say is tiered higher than Tennessee. That's the question that pisses everybody off. What is a higher tier than Tennessee? Is Florida a higher tier than Tennessee at this point?
In their own mind. I mean, I think
Of course.
How
I just mean
look
the national narrative.
And Tennessee's going to think they're higher than it. But here's my question for you both, and we talked about it a little bit on our show last week, is all these jobs that are currently open, the carousel goes beyond it, right? It's who takes those jobs. So this Orange Buddha, we're laughing, but you just said it. I think there is a chance that a guy like Heupel, I'm not saying it's Heupel, a guy like Drink, sorry, Maggie, but like a guy like that is going to go to a new place. A guy like Dabo, heck, I mean, he's had a nightmare of a PR weekend, I guess. You know, a guy like that might surprise people and landed a new job, which just keeps this carousel rolling. This is going to be the craziest carousel I think we've ever seen.
But I think that's the question. And I know Rob said Tennessee fans are killing Heupel this morning because they didn't show up last night in that game. Joey Aguilar still threw for 400 yards. Sure, they didn't make the stops. They let up that big run at the end of the game. But I think going into the year, we had so many questions. You had Nico. I'm just gonna say Nico.
Nico, I'm a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm a lot of money. He goes to UCLA. You lose him on the day before spring camp. On the last day of spring camp. You lose anybody that late in the portal, and yet you're still in the hunt for a college football playoff come November 1st. That you're doing a great job. He pulled up, Joey Aguilar from Texas A&M, from App State and from UCLA. He's plug and played them, and the Vols have looked better. They almost knocked off Georgia. So, like, to me, if I'm hypeful, I'm going to say, like, what is the realistic expectations? But again, I'm going to point to it. I think it just points to him as a coach. And if you give him a roster like they have it at Florida or at LSU, then that makes sense. My question is, if he goes to LSU, does Danny White go with him? Because again, those guys were a package deal going from UCF to Tennessee. Do they then go to LSU and try to make that next move?
They need an AD at LSU, don't they?
They do.
In theory, you know, Joy told us earlier she's 99% sure, but I don't know how sure she is 48 hours after we had that conversation. I want to remind everybody that, speaking of Joy, we're doing a giveaway with SEC Pretty. You can win one of three items, and it's really simple. All you have to do is click the link there that is in our comments, or you can just scan this QR on your screen. It's going to ask you to enter by one of four ways. You can follow me. You can follow Craig. You can visit our website. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel there at College Football Forever. Or you can do all four and have 12 entries, because it's going to give you 3 points for each entry. So make sure that you do that. We're going to give away a couple of hats. We're going to give away a sweatshirt. This is running for the month of November, and then we'll have it to you in time for Christmas, so you can get this for a gift and tell somebody that you got them a really, really nice SEC Pretty item, but really you just want it on our show. Thanks for being here. And we got a couple more boards to do, boys.
I'm so currently leading, here. So people need to jump on there, because I'm currently the leader for most entries.
Did you enter all the things? Did you do all four?
All four.
That's the only way to go. It doesn't cost you anything to follow us on X. It doesn't cost you anything.
It took me 4 seconds.
Visit our website or subscribe on YouTube. It's actually the easiest, most simple way to enter any giveaway that I've seen.
I've unfollowed Craig and then refollowed Craig.
You're so sweet. That's a good move, too.
You're welcome. Auburn Sports, from our friends at On Three Board, the old rivals or current rivals, our friend Mandingo Warrior. Now, I do have to preface this, because people have now made jokes about the Auburn boards that's where you get your news. Like, there was rumors about Billy Napier, and someone on the Florida board said, hey, has anyone checked the Auburn boards to see if this is true? So just keep that in mind here. When we say, Lord, help us, this is torture. This is just plain pitiful, man, at Auburn University. This is just pitiful, man, at Auburn University. This is acceptable.
Yeah, Craig sent this one during the game last night. And if I remember correctly, my response was, this is just accurate. Normally, the posts from the board that we pull up, to your point, Casey, maybe the Auburn boards are where we go for reality checks. Normally, the things that we pull are funny and they're outlandish and they allow us to come at it with a little satire and sarcasm. This one's spot on. I see no lies. I spot no lies on this one. This is exactly what we were all thinking. Even those of us who are just football fans, SEC fans, people who casually watch sports, it's absolutely awful to watch. It's Jay Will said a few minutes ago, disgusting to watch. Yeah, that's what it was. It was bad. So bad.
I tried to watch it.
That was like on the fourth screen at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So that was just kind of there. But I was joking with Rob that it seemed like every single time it was third down, it didn't matter who was that quarterback for Auburn, but they were getting sacked because they were holding the ball just way too long.
Well, it was third and long. Then you can pin your ears back, and that's kind of what happens when you're inept.
Who knew that Ashton Daniels was at Auburn? I had no idea.
Yeah, who knew?
So finally, I think it's finally.
We got one more after this, and then we're out.
All right. Well, then before finally, Sigmund 56 says Wallen is a sellout. Playing at Bryant Denny and Ben Hill Griffin Stadiums. I am curious to see how all you fanboys explain this one. Before you guys comment, he's playing at Clemson too.
Ooh. Meet you at the paw, buddy.
Can I just say, this is the most Tennessee post I've ever seen, where anyone would think that someone of Morgan Wallen's caliber is going to turn down the money, the money that is getting paid to pay at these stadiums.
90,000. Yeah,
he's going to wear the jersey too, guy. Just make sure that you're aware that's going to happen.
I thought he was an Ole Miss fan.
That's Katy Perry.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
You haven't been listening to Morgan Wallen if you don't know he's a Tennessee fan.
Please. What is your favorite Morgan Wallen song?
Me?
He's not asking me.
Probably Keith Whitley, which is kind of a random one, but it's because that's the one that I would use when we had to have a certain tempo with my youngest daughter to eat to. She had to have music when she was learning how, because she was premature, the whole thing. Anyway. So I listened to that one on repeat a lot, or I would sing it to her. So, probably Keith Whitley.
I'm going to need some whiskey glasses.
You know, that's really throwing it back if we're talking whiskey glasses.
Cause I don't
whiskey glasses. Shout out to my wife. She does a good karaoke to that one. She's fantastic. And I got dance moves and everything to it. So.
Breaking news, Maggie Johnson, former big Mizzou fan. She loves Tennessee. That's how I'm reading that message in the chat. She's a big Tennessee fan now.
Let me get
Maggie, what is your favorite Morgan Wallen song?
There it is.
I missed the word song, but I mean, I deal with message boards, so I don't know.
For those of you who don't know, the song TN is about a girl that he couldn't keep there in that state. And it's definitely Megan Maroney, who is also a friend of the show and supporter of SEC Pretty. And look how we just tie everything together. So shout out. That's a great song, Maggie. And Meg, if you're listening, shout out to you as well for being a huge supporter. Not just SEC Pretty, but SEC Sunday Night. All right.
Are you guys on a first name basis where you can call her Meg?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We got one more here for you. Go ahead, Casey.
All right, finally. And I was feeling Arborist Reb here so much from the Rebels 24/7 board. It says YouTube TV. I can't find ESPN on my app this morning. Is there a way to fix this? Did I do something wrong? I've restarted it twice. And that was the worst experience of my life watching games yesterday, because I couldn't figure out the remotes. Like, I got DirecTV free trial, and the remote, the thing was different. Like, I had a buddy come over. I'm like, help me. It was bad. I need YouTube.
Can I give you a little inside baseball just between us girls?
Yeah.
So on the last word chat yesterday, that was the conversation of what should we use? What streaming service would she use?
And that was everybody's conversation.
Right. To which I replied, oh, I just have the ESPN app because all the teams that I watch are right there.
ESPN
app. Someone asked me, they go, what about the other teams? And I go, wait.
Okay.
There's other teams? I don't care what's on Fox. I don't care what's on the Big Ten Network.
The ESPN app, though, tried to do like the quad box, the way that YouTube TV, and every time put it up there, it was glitchy. Or maybe it was just my TV.
Maybe it was just you. Mine was beautiful, but I was also an ESPN app subscriber already. So
I am too. That's why I didn't need DirecTV, but I don't know.
So I'm an OG for the ESPN app subscriber. I canceled YouTube TV last year because I didn't want to spend $90 for Magnolia TV and HGTV, even though it did break my heart a little bit. Miss you, Chip and Joanna. But I'll be honest.
Give them a shout out.
That banana pudding.
Are they still on Twitter?
I don't know, but they got a good show, and the way they can refix those houses, I mean, come on. And then we've got the folks in Laurel, Mississippi. They're fantastic. I don't know what you're doing.
Hometown, I think. How do I know this? Hometown. What's going on? What show? Where are we?
I told you I worked for a company in Laurel, from Laurel. I've been to Laurel, Mississippi.
Me I would and like seven to other people. I bet, I was gonna say, like, what is that, like 15 hours from anywhere? Anyway, sorry, Mississippi. I digress. I've had no problem with the ESPN app. The multi-view is good. Sometimes it'll take a minute, but all of the issues and all the problems, I had none of the buffering, and I know that a lot of people did. I don't worry about pausing the game and kind of rewatching it. I just kind of watch the games. I like the multi-view that it has.
Yeah.
And again, it's worked out really well. Now, granted, YouTube TV is great if you want to watch something on CBS and NBC, but looking at the middle and the bottom half of the Big Ten, nobody wants to watch that. And the numbers back that up.
And on that note, Craig, we have an incredible show coming up on Tuesday night. And so we would invite all of you to come back. Because we've said some things tonight, and if you're here because you wanted some freezing cold takes, I'm sure there will be some of those on Tuesday as well. We'll be back at 9 o'clock, right after the ESPN special. They're gonna do the college football playoff. Yes, Eastern, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right after the college football playoff reveal. We're going to catch the press conference really quick, and then we'll be right here with you guys live on the Chief Sports Network. Make sure that you go back and you get that giveaway. Go ahead and scan that as we're on our way out of here and give Craig and I a follow. Visit the site, subscribe on YouTube so you can enter all different ways. Shout out to our esteemed message board genius podcast producer, Casey Cregan, who is with us as always. Shout out to MVG. Shout out to Dr. J. Will Jonathan Williams from SI with us tonight. And as always, shout out to the SEC Pretty Queen herself, Daily Joy, for joining us. Tonight was cold. I'm going to grab a blanket and some hot chocolate. We'll catch you guys next time right here on SEC Sunday Night.